talking about our Mexico house building trip. So this is different, sitting in a chair, right? It's kind of nice. We should do this on Sunday mornings. So anyways, this is a very dear topic to me. And it's been kind of a weird year this past year. And especially for the Mexico mission trip, I think a weird year is putting it rather lightly. So normally we go 4 times a year, but you know, we only got to go once. But I will say that I am extremely happy that we got to go that one time. Things just didn't feel right. So with that being said, there's a few things I hope we get to do today and accomplish. So we'll jump into that, and then we're going to get to hear from some other folks today too, which is going to be, I think, good, because you don't have to just hear me. So let me read something here. So in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today and thank you for caring for us. Thank you for Bear Creek Bible Church's ministry in Mexico. Thank you, Father, for the changes that it has wrought in my own life, and then the changes that I've gotten to see it bring in other people's lives in Mexico. Over the years, it's been something that has been very dear to me and something that has been extremely influential in all areas of my life. Lord, I know that sounds kind of selfish about mission work, but I think that it has caused you to be made known, and I believe it has caused me to know you better. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. I pray that you would be glorified today in what we talk about. I pray that your words would be spoken, not my words. I pray, Father, that that this would be edifying for all of us, and that you be glorified. It's in your son's name we pray, Father. Amen. All right. So, you know, usually I like write things out. Oh, I forgot the clicker. Hold on a second, guys, because, yeah, don't throw it. All right. Thank you. PowerPoints don't work without the things to make PowerPoints work. All right. All right, with that one, hope you guys are doing well. You know, I'm glad you guys are here in person, and I'm also glad that you guys are streaming at home. I hope that this is special, like I said earlier, because this is something that is very special to me. And so it's the ministry to our brothers and sisters in Reynosa. So as far as our missions work here at Bear Creek Bible Church goes, this is probably the largest aspect in all that we do mission-wise. Now, we do support missionaries all over the world. We have them come and speak. We send them things. We keep in touch with them. We do a lot of connection pieces, and we do a lot of prayer for them. We do a lot of supplying needs and those things. But this is where our congregation gets to be a real active part of the mission field. We have several different types of Mexico missions, and as I said earlier in the stream, we do 4 different trips a year. And we've got 1 house building trip every year. We have a 2 pastors conferences where we teach, you know, the local Mexican pastors, their wives and the other church leaders, different theological things. A lot of them have little to no theological training. We have a team that goes there to prepare meals from them because they come directly from work to go right into the conference time and to learn. We're actually fixing to have one of those in a couple weeks here. We'll have a team leaving to take care of that. It'll be an awesome experience for them. They get to go down. We'll have a team that'll be helping prepare meals. We have a team that will be passing out supplies and pastor's materials. And then we're going to have gifts for everybody and everything else. It's just a really cool time. It's a very small group usually that goes. John does the teaching. And sometimes we have guest teachers as well. If you're interested in that stuff, then let me know. But we also have a summer trip as well. And our summer trip is kind of a bigger trip. Usually it has more people because more people are able to go during that time. And we usually have some type of work team where they're doing a project. We have a sports team for the young men. We have a women's ministry to encourage the women who, culturally down there really carry the torch of God in the home. And then we have our VBS ministry, which is usually seeing around 200 kids there, 100 to 200, depending on the year, depending on the weather. If it's really muddy, sometimes they can't get out there and everything, but we try to get them. It's a really cool one. We also have a clinic as well, a medical clinic, and that's one day, and people come out and go to the clinic and everything else. Then we have our house building trip, and that is what we are talking about today. So it says up there, it says building to make him known, right? Reaching our brothers and sisters in Samaria. So the Reynosa ministry has been in effect since 1999. I believe it's 1999. But today we're going to talk about the building project, and that was started a few years later. And so I'm going to explain what I mean by Samaria here in just a second. Today I really want to focus in on how it's changed me and how it's changed the people that will come and join us here in a minute, and what our relationships are down there with the people. So, okay. Hopefully that's what we're going to accomplish. So why Samaria, right? So our church believes there's a biblical principle at play that Jesus gives us in the book of Acts, which we're studying, right? And it applies to our lives locally, nationally, and internationally. So if you'll look here, Scripture says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So right now, we have Jesus about to be taken up into the clouds, and he tells his disciples this statement, "But you will receive power," right? And he says this, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you guys have gotten, anybody that's been following along with the Action Heroes, right? You guys have gotten to go over this. But he says that you'll be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, okay? So if we were to like picture a map, right, you got Judea and Samaria that share a border, right? And we've got Texas and Mexico that share a border. See that? All right. That's why we call it our Samaria, right? Because we're supposed to do that. And so then we're doing our international ministry as well by supporting missionaries and being a part of their ministries as well that are further out than just our neighboring country. Okay. Not that Texas is a country, but it kind of like, kind of thinks it's a country. So I see some. All right. So so we consider Mexico to be our Samaria, right? And so putting this charge to Jesus' disciples, which we all are or should be, okay, we got to put this into practice. And so by God's grace, we've been given the ability to reach out to our brothers and sisters. And we do that by building houses. And we've done it through a bunch of houses, one large church, and we've also renovated several churches. So here's a key ingredient to what we do in Mexico. So we go to Mexico, right, and we build houses, but we do not go to Mexico just to build houses. Okay? There's other organizations that do that. They go and they provide things and everything else for families, and that is awesome and wonderful, and I'm not knocking that at all. But we go to these places to allow these homes to be a light in the community in Mexico for God. So we go to offer hope through relationship. We go to meet needs, but we go to meet needs in God's name. Super important to know Christ better and to make him known. That is why we go. That is why we hope that each house that we built and that church that we built and that churches that we've helped renovate and the things we've helped fix, we hope that those are beacons in the community, that in these, places where homes are crumbling or falling apart or in disrepair and we're able to replace one of them, that it's a sign of hope for that community. That is the goal. We don't go to build houses. We go to build houses to glorify God. Okay? Anybody could go build houses. We go with a specific purpose. Okay? So we're going to look at some of the statistics of the BCBC ministry and kind of some of the ins and outs of it. Okay? Maybe. Okay. All right. So my question for you guys is, what's a home, right? Does it matter what a home looks like? Does it matter how much it costs? Does it matter what a home's floor is made of, right? Does it matter if they have bathroom fixtures or if there is a lack of bathroom fixtures? Does it need like running water to be a home? Does it need electricity, right? So I believe that most of us would probably be on the same page when we say that none of these things are necessary to make a house a home, right? Those are not the ingredients that make something a home, okay? But I would also assume that, and I don't like to assume all the time, but like I'm pretty sure it's a safe assumption. I could be incorrect, and if I am, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure that most of us are not doing without any of these things. I think we probably all have concrete floors. We probably have running water and electricity. There may have been times when that wasn't the case. There may have been times when things go out or whatever, you know. But I think it's probably pretty safe to say that we have had access to those things, right? So if we believe that it's true that we don't need those things to make a house a home, but it's most likely not an experience, right, that any of us have had. Well, the folks that we build for, they have that, okay? Every work site that I've ever been to has, not all of them. Some of them have running water, some of them don't. But the running water in all of them is non-potable, drinkable, okay? And so they get their waters from trucks that come through the neighborhoods and everything else, you know? And so for those that we've had the God-given opportunity to reach out to in Mexico, these are kind of the everyday realities that they face. So after I've worked in Mexico, and I've actually been working there with our church since 2007, that's like 13 or 14 years, right? Like it's 2021 now, so that's a long time, probably around 13 years then. So I can tell you guys a better determining factor of what I believe a home is, okay, or like to tell if a house is a home, right? And it's the laughter of the children in the home and the neighborhood surrounding the home, okay? Whether there's a dirt floor, you know, whether it's concrete, whether children, you know, whatever, like children laugh in the same language the world over, okay? And I will tell you that I have heard it in the most poverty-stricken places that I've seen, and that laughter is a better indicator of a house being a home than any of those other things. Okay, when we're building, we hear the laughter of these kiddos. You know, I know that one of our houses this year, we actually had a lot of kids at one of the houses that were running around, and our team got to play with them, and it was just really cool. It was like super relational building, but I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder, okay, because some of them are going to get up here and speak. So, since 2003, BCBC has been building homes by God's grace in Reynosa, Mexico. All right. So while the people who receive these homes make them a home, not us, we've built 32 homes. Okay. We've renovated one church, or we've renovated several churches, and we've built one church, and we've built relationships, and these relationships are like 2 decades. And so it's an amazing testament to God's goodness. So, I'm going to say it again, 32 houses. Okay. And so if you guys don't think that 32 houses is a lot, I want you to see this video that, you know, Scotty's going to play here real quick. All right, did anybody count how many times she hit that? It was actually 32 times that she hit it. I thought it was awesome. So Katie is awesome, and I'm hoping she's going to be a good sport about that. We built 32 houses. And so how many of you guys thought that was a lot of times to hit a nail on the head, right? So, and I don't know how much it went in. We did talk about the fundamentals of swinging a hammer after that. It was a good discussion. So she's awesome. And she did a ton of work on the trip, and we did not have her doing a ton of nailing though. And so, 32 houses. Okay. One church, renovated several other churches. And this year we're going to build houses again. But it's also been put on my heart that we need to help Pastor Jesus with his home. He is doing dialysis within his own home. He needs a lot of things repaired to help it be more sanitary. And so that's going to be one of the projects that I would like us to do as a church to help him. He just had to have a major stomach operation where they cut open his gut so that his port had gotten infected. And I mean, Okay, so from what I've been told by John of the history of this, right, because I started in 2007, but a group of people went down to do an exploratory trip in 2003. The group believed they were going to build wooden houses at the time, but after seeing the condition of the homes that were wooden in the places we would be building during that trip, they were, and speaking with Pastor Jesus, the group decided that cinder block was the best way to go. So the picture on the left there is the first group that went to build right after that exploratory trip, okay? And the picture on the right is our most recent group, and that was literally just a few weeks ago at the end of December. And I'm really proud of them for going and decided that God wanted them to be on this trip despite all the difficulties that we've had in 2020 so far. And we were still able to, we didn't have to break our years of ministering. Of course, we've been supporting financially, but our years of ministering down there by being there physically and in their presence. So it was really cool. So Pastor Jesus, he's the guy that makes the decisions on who will receive a house. Not us. He's actually sitting there. It's a walker that has wheels and he's in a seat on it. So he's having to use a walker now and everything, but, he was up and around, and one of the days there, he was like his own self again. Pretty tired though. So, I've come to really love Pastor Jesus and talk to him almost daily. Pastor Jesus makes the decisions on who will receive a house. We don't. He's intimately involved in the lives of the people at the churches there. He's the overseer of. He's overseer about 4 churches, I believe. And they have to be an active member of the church. They have to be in need, of course. And they have to own outright the lot that we're going to have the house built on. There's a lot of things that could happen if they don't own it, government-wise and different things like that. People coming in and, taking it, not being able to pay the payments on it and losing the house and everything else. So one of his conditions that he's put on it is that they own the property that it's going to be put on. And when I say property, it's like a narrow slip of land. So the cost of a cinder block home has been in the past about $3,200 since we've been building there pretty consistently. And this year, with supply issues, with all the materials, due to COVID shutdowns, the price came out to around $4,000 per home. And so that's due to the increase in cost in concrete for the foundations, cost of materials like the blocks and the wood, and paying the Mexican workers that work with us. We paid them more this year than we have in the past because of the hardships that's been happening. So we traditionally have two maestros that work with us on site directly. They usually kind of like tell us when we're messing things up, which is often. And then they lay a lot of block. We have members of our team making batches of concrete, hammering nails, moving blocks, even laying blocks. You know, we've gotten over the years pretty proficient at having some of our people being able to make walls and different things like that. And we just have the maestros check them, you know, make sure we're level and we're doing them right. I'll tell you this, though, it's funny. And Jamie and Neil, I'm sure you guys can speak to this, but like when you ask if something looks right, they always have to like adjust it a little bit. Like it can never just be, yeah, that's right. You know. So anyways, I think that's funny. All right. But we're often supported by the family members also that the house is being built for. And, you know, they've been gracious in sharing what they have with us during our lunch times, especially. And so we bring our own lunches, but the families have been insisting for the last several years that they cook for us. And it is some of the most amazing, authentic Mexican food that I have ever had in my life. And I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty awesome. Like it's a perk. It's definitely a perk. And like I said, this is our group that just went. This is the very first group that went. So yeah, 32 since 2003. So what makes a home? So for reference, I wanted to throw these pictures up. Here are some of the homes that we've been able to replace. Okay. I can remember the rainstorm that came through while we were on this trip in 2015. So we were working and it started raining really heavily while we were there. And that house on the left, okay, so it's the same house right there on the left and the right. And it's just kind of different angles or whatever. But that house, we actually had to take a piece of the house off to be able to mix cement on it because there wasn't any good ground to mix cement on. So they were like, oh, here you go. And they took a piece of the house off and we started mixing cement on the board that they used for that piece of wall. Anyway, so it started raining and it was really cold and we were all getting soaked to the bone. And so we went to the only shelter because the house didn't have a roof on it yet. And the only shelter, of course, was their home. And we went inside of it and there was about 3 inches of water on the ground inside the home. Okay. I'll just never forget that. Okay. I'll never forget that, you know, I walked in there and the lady and it was her two children and they were sitting on the bed and they had the covers all pulled up, you know, so they weren't hanging on the floor, the dirt floor from the bed, and they had pulled them all up on the thing and they were kind of huddled there to be warm and out of the water. And I was pretty blown away by that. And so they had said that it flooded there pretty good. And so we had actually built these houses about 2 feet above ground level in that area. We spent some extra time and resources on building up the foundation before we poured the concrete to build the foundations for the house. And that was exactly why. I will never forget that. But I also, like I said before, I'll never forget the laughter of the kids. Okay. So those two kiddos, as we were building the house and we were playing there, you could hear them laughing and playing when it wasn't pouring. And just being a part of it. And they actually thought it was pretty cool that there was part of their house missing because they could like duck in and out of it. It was like their perfect size. Okay. So I'll never forget their laughter. And I'll also never forget the tears of the mom when we gave her the keys to the front door of their new house, you know? Here we go. In the top left of this slide, you can see the parishioners of the House of Blessing Bible Church that we built. They were meeting in that dirt lot right there. So like, if you were to pan over to the left a little bit on that picture on the left, you would see this kind of open dirt lot. And that's where we built the church. Okay. So they were meeting there in a dirt lot before we had built the building they now worship in. And we didn't build a church, just like we didn't build a home. We built houses, right? We didn't build the home. The families did that. God did that. We didn't build a church either. It was already there. Okay. And I would say that we didn't even build a building. You know, God did that through us. And I think that's an awesome calling, right? That same trip, these are some of the families that we built for and some of the houses that we replaced. Okay. And cinder block homes. Okay. So here are some of the homes that we built just this year. We've improved on some of our practices over the years. You know, things have gotten better, but they've all been cinder block. We've decided what materials we need to bring from the U.S. down there that will help the house be a little more sturdy and everything. And it's always a new thing we're learning. So this is why we've chosen to use blocks. It protects better against the elements. It withstands the harsh climate there better. And, you know, just like we saw that wood in that previous picture, it was eaten away. It was torn up. Well, these houses will not have that same issue. Okay. Here we go. This is after we built the church, just the basic church, right? So on the left, you can see them worshiping right outside of the church in their little lot in the front. Okay. It's kind of a U-shaped building there. In that middle picture, you can see the side classrooms and the kitchen and then the big sanctuary in the back. And then here's kind of some more of the building in the side from a different angle. But this is kind of the process of building the church. And so here's the cool thing about this church. Every time we go back, it's been worked on more by Pastor Alberto and his congregation. Every time. Okay. So here's how the church looks today. Well, this is close to what the church. So this was probably 2019. Okay. And then this is what it looks like today. So let me keep up with myself here. So it's a church that's loved, right? He told me, so when we look at this picture right here, he said there was going to be a garden in there, in that middle part. And it's like all this really hard dirt. Okay. And I did not believe him at all whatsoever. Like I was like, no, I guess you're going to try. Good deal. Right. And so here it is today with a garden in it. Okay, like over, so from 2019 where you saw it was bare to today, which was just, this was a couple weeks ago that we took these pictures. Okay, he's gotten his garden in there. Okay, Pastor Jesus says Pastor Alberto walks out there every day and picks up every little piece of trash that has blown into the area. All right, he sweeps every single concrete place. He sweeps inside and outside of the church. And then he preaches at all the churches right now because Pastor Jesus is sick. Okay, so remember that U shape, right? So like that's the center of the U shape. All right. Anyways, I just think that is so awesome. And I think that is really a beacon for God in that community. When we built this, this was kind of a new colonia going up and it was a lot of wooden homes that were, you know, not really, there wasn't a lot of concrete homes around it. This was one of the first concrete buildings in that area. I just think it's awesome. So what a cool and, you know, awe-inspiring, a cool and awe-inspiring thing. And I think it's actually like awesome, right? Like inspiring awe. Okay. So they've had a garden and they're going to continue to do it. And I'm not going to not believe Pastor Alberto when he tells me he's going to do something. So, all right. In addition to the 32 homes we've built, we've been able to replace a fire-damaged roof to the main church of Pastor Jesus' church, which is Prince of Peace. The neighbor's house caught on fire. Okay, we actually poured a concrete roof, and that was kind of terrifyingly crazy. And so, you know, this is the back. This is before the damage happened. This is the hallway that was once open to the air, but when we built the next level, we wanted to level everything out so he can actually put another story on top of that. And that's the concrete roof that we poured. This is the floor that we actually had put in. We were going to put in ourselves, but Pastor Jesus wanted it done before VBS, before our trip. And so we paid for the supplies and they had some maestros come in and put the floor of the church in. Let's see here. All right. So this picture, I'm going to try to hurry up because I know I want to bring my guys up here and I want to talk. So All right. So this picture means like an absolute ton to me, okay? Because it was the first trip I went on in 2007 to Reynosa, okay? So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about why it means so much to me. In March of that year, I had been released from the penitentiary after 3 years and 3 months or something like that of being locked up. And I was released on parole on a 10-year prison sentence. So inside prison, I had made my decision to give my life to Christ, and I served him during my time there. As my family were founding members of BCBC, I started coming back to this church after I got out, and I started coming with them, right? My mom and my sister. And I started hearing about this ministry here at the church. I started seeing slides going and everything, and I started praying about it, and I thought God wanted me to go on it, okay? So my parole officer, he told me that, like, there's no way they're going to let you go out of the country when you just got out of prison. And I was like, you never know, right? Like, I think I'm supposed to be going on this trip. So I put in my request anyways. He filed the paperwork. And so he called me back the next day, and I thought he was about to tell me it was denied really quickly. And so he said it was approved, and it was approved faster than most things he's sent to them. And I thought that was pretty amazing, right? And so the reason it's so important is because it's right there that I met people from this church, okay? I began to find a place with these people, right? And I was already here, and I was trying to make a place, but it was difficult. And I began relationships that have lasted years with brothers and sisters while I've been in Mexico. I can remember playing with a little boy named Amos, who is now in his 20s, and he's just gotten married, and he helps us build every year. He's in Mexico. He's like Pastor Jesus's basically adopted son. And, you know, I can remember playing like the little repeat games with him, you know, like I'd say something in English and he'd say something back, you know, and like we would just do all these different, it was fun. Okay. But he was like a little kid then, and now he's in his 20s, married. And anyways, I see him every time. And it's just refreshing. So after about 6 years, after that first trip that changed my life, and I got my life changed again by going to Mexico, which is where I, you know, met my wife. All right. She was there living at the orphanage that we stay at. Okay, so not only did I become connected to my church and to people here, and like really, it just helped me a lot when I first got out of the penitentiary. Then I went to Mexico and I met my wife. And so she was volunteering and living at the orphanage that we stay at. And, you know, now we're married and have two kiddos. And so, and of course, our relationship with Pastor Jesus is amazing. Like I said, I text with him pretty much like every day. And so he's the glue down there that holds things together. And he's the pastor of sister church, Prince of Peace Bible Church. And he's suffered many health issues recently, so I think we really need to be in prayer for him. He's got dialysis, diabetes, he's got kidney failure, he's got a whole lot of different things going on. But he's holding on. Here's just some pictures of some of the past groups that we've had go at different times. The one picture up on the right is actually my wife, and that is when me and her were trying to put together a door together, and we figured out that we do things differently. So, doors are always stressful, by the way, always, but we definitely figured that out. Here's another one. Let's see here, catch up with myself. All right, so in just a few minutes, we're going to have a panel come up. We've got, you guys don't have to hear from me anymore. We're going to have Jamie Hines, Karen Landers, Neil Dickens, Kevin Robichaux, and Kyle Gibson come up and share some of their thoughts and stuff about what's going on.